Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, it's the morning show presented by St. Mary's Medical Group. Second half kickoff for the show, the day, and the week. Love it. We're basically at the top, you know, when you're at Thunder Road or you're at the Great American Scream Machine.
That's a good one.
Going old school here.
Now, do you sit in the front or the back?
I don't know, just wherever.
I like the back.
Yeah, but you're going up the big hill. You get right to the top. That's where we are right now. We just went over the top.
You know, they used to run that thing
hands
backwards.
Yeah.
I've done. For like a year.
Done that one also where you can go backwards. Those are interesting too. Wouldn't do it now. Time to bring in our man Brandon Adams from Dog Nation Daily, the host of Dog Nation Daily. You can catch here Monday through Friday, noon to 1. And one of the best podcasts out there. By the way, Brandon's one of the few people who does what you would call a daily podcast. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go out on a limb and go, there aren't many people in this world that have done more podcasts than BA. In fact, Brandon, what is the number? What is the official number that you have right now?
That's a good question. We're 1,100 and... I always get the Gatorator Updater and our number of podcasts confused because they're pretty similar. We're knocking on the door of 1,100-something when it comes to the podcast. And, yeah, it's probably true. You know, I'm a robot. I'm not actually a human being. You literally just wind me up, and I'll just talk and talk and talk. So there probably aren't a lot of people out there who are insane enough to do something like this every single day. But, you know, when you don't have any human emotions and you're only, you know, a machine built to speak, this is kind of what you end up doing.
Well, I'd just like to say congratulations. That is very impressive. And I love it that it's similar to the Gator Hater update. That's very cool. And
yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah, yeah. And now getting ready for the Auburn Hater update. So if the Gator Hater for you is a 10, what would Auburn be on a scale of 1 to 10?
Well, it can't be 10 because I do reserve that for Florida. But obviously it's going to be around that 9 mark or so. And I know for many of the people in your audience, and I hear from these people a lot, they'll say, you know, BA, you know, I know you make the big deal of Florida rivalry, but for me, that rivalry is Auburn. And sometimes it can be for whatever reason, you know, personal stuff. There's obviously a lot of family connections between, I've always kind of jokingly said, those house-divided license plates. I feel like you see more of those for Georgia-Auburn than you do for virtually, you know, any other two schools. I think the geographic closeness of the two schools is a part of that. There's also a lot of intertwining between the two universities themselves, getting back to Vince Dooley and Pat Dye and kind of everything, you know, from the history here. So I have great respect for the Georgia fans who say that Auburn is my number one rival, especially for those who live out in West Georgia, Columbus, you know, places like that, who obviously have to work around a bunch of Auburn fans. And gosh knows, you know, Auburn fans can be their own special breed from time to time. So, listen, Florida is my 10, and I believe it's supposed to be Georgia's number one rival. But that doesn't mean there's not plenty of dislike left over for Auburn. And it doesn't mean it's too far behind. And I think you're seeing a lot of examples of that this week with how fans are kind of getting ready for this game.
BA, it's always been a heated rivalry. It always will be a heated rivalry. But is it a fair statement to say that since that 2010 debacle, this one seems a little bit nastier than it's ever been? Hard to believe that's been just about a decade ago. But the last decade has been, I think, one of the nastier eras, even though Georgia's had its way with Auburn. Is that fair to look at the rivalry in that aspect?
Yeah, I think so. I certainly heard a lot of people say that before, and I guess I probably thought that myself, too, from time to time, that the 2010 game, and you had some late hits on Aaron Murray and, you know, some things like that, it kind of changed the tone of the rivalry. I'm not quite so sure it wasn't trending in that direction anyway. I mean, let's face it, the SEC is probably even more cutthroat and competitive now than it was, like, say, back in the 80s or, you know, previous eras here. So I think that we were probably heading for an era in which, you know, Georgia and Auburn are fighting for the same piece of pie and just destined to kind of, you know, make the rivalry more intense because of that. And, you know, so I think the 2010 is certainly a step in that direction. But even apart from that, we've seen this rivalry intensify around that. If for no other reason, the fact that Georgia's kind of really had Auburn's number for the most part, you know, around that game and certainly since that game.
I'm not intentionally trying to age you. Please don't take it that way. But what are some of your favorite memories, maybe growing up around this rivalry, that stand out as BA's favorite memories?
Well, I'm old enough to remember the water hose game back in 1988 when Georgia started Wayne Johnson at quarterback and pulled an upset there at Jordan-Hare Stadium that night. That was obviously a really cool one for me. I'm very, very lucky that I had a chance to be at Jordan-Hare Stadium back in 2002 for the Michael Johnson David Green catch. That's one of my great sports memories, regardless of team. You know, to be able to be there and see that in person, you know, was an amazing thing for me. And then, you know, obviously the retaliation in 2017 for what had happened in November, Georgia getting beat down, Gus Malzahn boasting loudly on the field after that was over. To see that, you know, what was already kind of a revenge tour for Georgia in 2017, to see them be able to get that back on Auburn in the SEC championship, the only time I guess these two teams have played twice during the same season. I mean, yeah, I mean, as someone who's kind of grown up around Georgia football, a lot of your most significant memories, for the good and for the bad, frankly, a lot of that does kind of center around Auburn.
B.A., let's talk a little bit about this game now coming up on Saturday, and certainly I think you start out with the lines of scrimmage, Georgia's offensive line and Auburn's defensive front. I mean, you're talking Derrick Brown, Marlon Davidson, Big Cat Bryant, Nick Coe, a guy that we talked a lot about in recruiting last year, Owen Papo. What are your thoughts on the way Georgia, you know, that was kind of scary last week having to use three different centers in a game.
Yeah.
But what are your thoughts on Georgia's offensive line versus Auburn's defensive line or defensive front?
Well, let me just say this first, and then I'll kind of get more into detail on that. I, speaking both as an analyst and a fan here for a moment, I'm not all that confident Georgia wins this game. That doesn't mean that I don't think they, you know, to use double negative, that doesn't mean I don't think they won't, but at the same time, this is not for me what Florida was, a game in which I thought Georgia had a decided matchup advantage. This game for Georgia against Auburn, given the venue, given the fact that Auburn has a week off, is just a lot tougher row to hoe all the way around. And, you know, Kirby Smart, you know, strikes the hopeful tone about Trey Hill or Lawrence Cage or anybody like that. And I think there's, you know, a degree of gamesmanship that can creep in this time of year in terms of, hey, you don't want Auburn to know that you've got, you know, someone who's less than 100% right now blocking that Auburn defensive front because it's so strong in the middle is kind of a unique challenge, especially given the fact we know that Georgia wants to sort of chop wood and run the football. You know, given what Georgia wants to do, or, you know, a more skeptical analysis might say, given the only way that Georgia seemingly can win games right now, you know, Auburn is certainly strong in the areas where Georgia also wants to be strong. It just makes it a tough matchup. My expectation is, if this one goes down to the wire and any kind of win by any means necessary for Georgia, I think for the fans, it's a huge thing to celebrate. This is a really tough stadium against what I believe is a really tough opponent, despite the fact they've lost twice. I think given the schedule, that's somewhat understandable. This is just a really, really tough game for Georgia, a street fight in every sense of the word.
Brandon Adams, the host of Dog Nation Daily, joins us.
Brandon, other matchups to watch on Saturday. We know the injury bug, Lawrence Cager, maybe George Pickens, who had a little bit of a, if you want to call it, a breakout game last week and a couple of touchdown catches. Also, one storyline to keep an eye on. I know you've talked about it a little bit this week, but how long George Pickens was committed to Auburn, and maybe there'll be a little bit of extra juice when he takes the field this Saturday. So how does Georgia's offense and maybe that passing game match up against Auburn?
You know, I know Kirby Smart kind of talked about this yesterday, the fact that teams aren't really defending Georgia, according to Smart, all that different than they would have in the past. Georgia's just not, you know, getting the explosive plays right now as a way of, you know, basically punishing teams for the way it's choosing to defend UGA. You know, if a 5-yard run turns into a 20-yard run, the fact that you stack the box at that point in time seems like a huge mistake. And that's even more true when it comes to some of the explosive passes. If Georgia's going to get explosive in the passing game, it seems right now the two guys most likely to do that would be 100% healthy Cager. He's played really big in some big games for Georgia already. We've all seen that.
and, you know, Pickens on Saturday as well. I mean, you know, while the third touchdown doesn't count in the official stats because of the penalty, I think it should have impacted our evaluation of them. But to see a guy like that catch three touchdown balls the way that Pickens did on Saturday, I think that just gives you an indication that Georgia's got not just an opportunity, I would argue an obligation, a responsibility to make sure that he is a big part of this game plan against a team like Auburn. Because one thing that Auburn's going to be content to do on Saturday is stay stubborn with the run and try it, their own version of the keep stopping mentality, because Gus Malzahn believes either laterally or vertically at some point in time, they're going to strike for a big play. Anthony Schwartz may very well be the fastest player in the SEC. You got to know where he is at all times. And so Auburn thinks at some point in time they're going to get an explosive play, whether on the ground with one of those jet sweeps or whether a deep throw to the extent that Nick is capable of completing one. That's what they're going to try to do. I think for Georgia, you know, it's got to be a little bit more than just a nibble here and a nibble there. I think Georgia also has to match occasionally with a few of its own big plays. And I don't see anyone more capable of doing that than Pickens. And obviously there'd be a certain degree of, I'm going to call it poetic justice, but it would certainly add to the plot line, the storyline, if the one-time Auburn commit made a big play or two in Jordan-Hare Stadium.
Did you find yourself on the edge of your seat at the end of the game against Missouri, you know, with the non-rushing touchdown streak being on the line like it was?
Honestly, this is going to sound corny, but I'm being completely honest, David. I thought it was the most exciting moment of the game. I really did. not just keeping the rushing touchdown off the board, but just kind of keeping the shutout reserve there as well. Let me give you a couple quick stats here for a moment. So three of the last four national champions were either first or second in points allowed for the season. Georgia's second right now. Only one national champion in the college football playoff era was top 10 for the year in scoring offense. Now, I've been as skeptical as anybody of Georgia's what I would call lack of offense right now, and skeptical that a defensive-led team could win a national championship in 2019. But in kind of digging through the stats as much as I have here over the last few days, I think there's a little bit more of a correlation between defense and winning in college football than people might realize, because the explosion of offense in 2018, I just think, kind of skewed our perspective a little bit. I mean, collectively as observers of college football, not necessarily just Georgia fans, but I think that because there was so much offense last season, we now think that's the only way to win a national championship. Well, we've got a 5-year track record for the playoff era now, and for the most part, defense has correlated with winning titles more so than offense has. So I'm actually, not just, enjoying, entertained by the shutout and especially the late game goal line stand against Missouri. For now, I'm actually a little bit more on board with Georgia as a defensive first team being a national championship contender. Maybe I'm just drinking the Kool-Aid and your audience can decide that for themselves, but I'm a little bit more on board with this now than I was a few weeks ago.
Great answer. Absolutely.
B.A., I don't mean to bring this back to anything negative before we let you go today, but Ole Miss, Auburn, LSU, those are the three SEC West road games that Kirby Smart has played since taking over Georgia, lost all three of them. Your producer, Connor, has written about that this morning. Is there anything to look into that, or is that just the way that it's sort of fallen the last 3 years where you've played three pretty good teams on the road?
Well, this has been a big storyline for me, Logan. I even asked, maybe it was Jake Brom. I asked somebody about this back at SEC Media Day, because looking ahead to the 2019 season, I had already kind of identified Auburn as Georgia's toughest game for the fact that Georgia has not really played well in this spot. Now, the 2016 Georgia team that lost at Ole Miss, let's face it, that wasn't a very good Georgia team. So that one almost doesn't matter to me all that much. Mm-hmm. But the 2017 version of Georgia was lost at Auburn, and last year's version was lost at LSU, and really neither of those games were competitive. That is a really big deal for me. And so I think that for Georgia, on the list of unanswered questions, points that Georgia still has to prove to go out and really show themselves of account, I think in hostile road environment, I think that's a big, big storyline for this game. I don't think it's unfair to say to Kirby Smart, hey, prove that you can win in a stadium like this. I don't think it's unfair to Jake Brom to say, hey, Jake, prove that you can handle an atmosphere like this. Georgia's in kind of a weird spot in that it hasn't really played in a lot of hostile venues other than these SEC West spots. Georgia, and I'm not being funny, I'm being serious. Mm-hmm. Georgia took over Notre Dame in 2017. In 2017 in Knoxville, they jumped out in front so early that the crowd kind of dispersed. It wasn't really there. They play at in Jacksonville every year, and that's not really a hostile environment either. You know, the Tennessee situation this year is maybe a little bit more like a traditional road game, but weirdly, Georgia's been in the spot where the only truly hostile environment it's been in the Kirby Smart era is that one SEC West game seemingly every year. There were probably even 20,000 Georgia fans at LSU last year, but it was still enough to make it a hostile environment. So it's kind of weird that Georgia hasn't played well here, but it may even be more strange that Georgia only sees a truly hostile road environment about once a year.
Ole Miss in 16, Auburn in 17, LSU in 18. Back to Auburn this weekend, and I'm with you on that, B.A. Hopefully the Dogs can turn that around.
Yeah, I think it's important. I really do. I think it's one of the key storylines for the game. I hear from fans a lot about the bye week stuff, and that obviously matters here too. But the just the need to go out and play great in someone else's stadium with everything on the line, I don't think it's too hot take-ish to say that's a big, big part of the equation for Georgia on Saturday.
Always great talking to you, Brandon. Thanks so much. We'll be listening for you later on today.
Pleasure to be with you guys. Thanks so much.
All right. Brandon Adams, the host of Dog Nation Daily. And we have it here noon to one for you right here on The Ref. Of course, you download the app, the new 960 The Ref app. You can catch all the great local shows, including Dog Nation Daily, right on the app. You can listen live. You can tap the app and listen live. Plus, you can hear the dogs. You can hear all the Georgia programming, the great Georgia programming, whether it's play-by-play, whether it's Bulldog Brunch, Bulldogs Live. If you're within a 75-mile radius of Athens, the old geofence, you can hear everything on the 960 The Ref app.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.